This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
What a season it was. But with 1 second left, Atlanta is moving on to the second round of the playoffs. The Hawks take the series in 5 games, closing it out here at the Garden.
They got exposed in the series.
A lot of guys, this was their first run through the playoffs, so there's learning that goes along with it.
You got a chance to see what this team needs to improve.
There's only one way to get experience, is you have to get it.
I mean, they won 41 games. The expectation was 22.5.
Bringing a brand of basketball back that the city can be proud of.
They were the 4 seed. They got into the actual playoffs.
They have something to build on for the future.
This was a great year. More importantly than winning games, I think it changed the outlook on the Knicks organization. And I think that's huge for them.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour, the show, of course. You love it. DCR right here on 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I'll bring some Straight Talk to you right now. I was very impressed with myself in the first hour. I think I did a terrific job, and I'm very proud of myself because I thought I could have laid an egg, and I don't believe that I did. And for that, go me.
That's a low bar, though.
I was really good.
Here's the thing, though. I give you credit because the flexibility in your shoulders is all-star level. I've never seen anyone pat themselves on the back more often than you.
Well, listen, I think you're not going to. Chris is not going to. I think someone needs to, and when I'm really good, I think it needs to be called out. I mean, I was exceptional in the 5 o'clock hour.
Hold on 1 second, Dave. Yeah. First of all, Rick and I praise you all the time when you have a great performance on Stump Rothenberg. Like, we talk about it all the time, how awesome it is, how that's one of the best segments in all of radio. So I don't understand why you say that we won't praise you if you do a good job. We're good
teammates.
Were
you going to say how good I was in the 5 o'clock hour at any point today?
No, we probably got.
I didn't think you were great.
That up, but I mean,
I
you're
I
such a great.
Good. I was.
You're such
I was a patient. I was
such
understanding.
A Dave. You're so good that I mean, it's just it's. I mean, we've come to expect that you're going to be at your best, especially in moments where your fellow Knicks fans need you. Like we've come to expect that Dave Rothenberg is going to have great performances on days like this.
Yeah, but
like,
see, that is the expectation. This is a very difficult day for me. They haven't been to the playoffs in forever, and to go out like that, I could have been I could have gone on a bender and just been walking in as the show started. I didn't do that. I slept a couple hours, 5 o'clock hour, really good. Good job by me. Go me. Uh-oh.
I can't believe you just fell for that. I mean, you're better than that. You're a grizzled veteran. You just fell for what he was trying to do. He just got exactly what he wanted. He praised himself, and then in defending yourself, you just spent the last 30 seconds praising him more, is what you did.
Yep.
This guy is, I'm telling you, diabolical. Yeah, he's Kaiser Sose, is what he is.
Well, very bright.
That's exactly
I've
who he
no
is.
Limp. Watch this. Look at me walk. RJ Barrett on his first playoff experience. Well, someone's not great today. Let's try that again. 5 o'clock hour, I was good. 6 o'clock hour, Santiago, not so much. RJ Barrett on his first playoff experience.
You know, started out, I mean, didn't play the best, but you know, I feel like I was able to figure it out, you know, along the way. I think after game three, I kind of was able to, you know, get into a rhythm, feel it out a little bit. But, I think it was a good first experience, and you know, definitely looking for many more.
Look, it's year two, so I cut him a lot of slack, and there's not a lot of talent on this team. But did you guys think he was really good in his first playoff experience?
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. I mean, it looked like as the series went on, like he started to feel more comfortable and he got better. Was he at the level that we saw during the regular season? No, but I mean, outside of Derrick Rose, until I mean, obviously he started to wear down and you know got nicked up. I mean, you tell me really,
Rose,
what Nick was.
And I would, well, here's the thing. I mean, the expectations are so low. I would say Rose clearly and Toppin were the two guys that exceeded what I thought they would do. But Toppin, the expectations were so little, so small.
Well, that's the best Toppin looked, right? Like, that's the most comfortable Toppin looked the entire year, which is a great sign moving forward. But it wasn't like at a level that was gonna help you to win the series. Like, you were happy to see that he was contributing as opposed to, like, we can't keep him on the floor. Like, we just can't. Like Randall needs a rest here for a couple minutes, and we can't afford to keep, you know, topping on the floor. Like, guys didn't perform to the level. Or, I mean, Randall not even close to the level that we saw him during the regular season.
No.
It was only close. Rosen topping.
Yeah.
Like, I was listening to something yesterday. I think it was Kendrick Perkins yesterday. I forget who they asked him about. But it was one of the star players. And I think it might have been LeBron they were talking about. And this is the best player. Like, we'll have conversations about him being the best player of all time, right? But right now, he's one of the best, if not the best player in the NBA, right? And even Perk was saying, like, the guys around him have to hit shots, too. Because, again, I mean, the whole focus is going to be LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And if guys around him, if the supporting cast doesn't hold up their end of the bargain, you're not going to win. LeBron James can't win if the guys around him can't help support him. And that's LeBron James.
Right.
So we're sitting here talking about Julius Randle, who's not even... The gap between Julius Randle and LeBron James is, it's humongous.
Yeah, it's the Grand Canyon. But yes. No, I mean, to your point, Rico, I mean, RJ Barrett needed to be your second or third best player of the series, and he just wasn't that guy. Like, he wasn't. Like, you just, the fact is that you needed somebody to come alongside and take some pressure off of Julius as far as being able to score the basketball, and somebody that can play extended minutes, because we realize Derrick Rose is not that guy at this stage in his career. I mean, you heard him last night. He was nicked up, you know, after what they went through in game four. So, I mean, it's just, you realize he can't play extended minutes. You needed somebody that can come out and give you 35, 40 minutes in a game and be a viable threat to score the basketball, to be able to create, to be a playmaker. And R.J. Barrett wasn't that guy. Like, he wasn't. Now, I want to give him some grace because, again, we're talking about his first experience in the playoffs, and the kid is only 20 years old.
And he has no point guard, too.
He's no point guard. He has no point guard also. But, I mean, he's got to be better. He's got to find a way to make some strides, too. Like, I think it's becoming more important in terms of this team being able to get to where they want to go, that he become a more well-rounded player on the offensive end. Until he does, it's always going to be a slog for this Knicks team, especially in the half-court offense.
And that is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. DCR 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go back to the phones, 800-919-3776. Let's go to Derek in Brooklyn. Good morning, Derek. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, DCR. Like, I want to say, the people calling to blame Tom Thibodeau, it's like they're being delusional. The real people they really look at is really the front office. The front office has a lot of work to do. We had a good year this year, but they have really, really a lot of work to do. Obi Toppin, to me, was not the right pick. We should have picked Tyrese Halliburton. The team would have looked probably a little bit different with a point guard. So, I mean, the front office has to go to work. And then everybody on ESPN Radio that was hyping up the Knicks, man, that was acting like they're going to beat the Hawks, we should have knew we didn't have the talent to beat the Hawks, man. Like, Julius Randle showed us all season that, he's all right, but whenever it came down to win the game, he couldn't get the shot. Like, they couldn't run the play through him. So, like, stop hyping up the Knicks, man. We're not going to win next year either. Maybe not even the year after
it.
That.
Stop it. You know what? He's another Nets fan. Stop it.
Derek from Brooklyn didn't give it away to you?
Stop it, though. Come on. Brooklyn is owned by the Knicks anyway. Stop.
But yeah, listen, Derek is just being a hater today, Dave. He just wants to be a hater. He wants to hang on the rim just because his team is still in it, and his team is probably favored right now to win the championship. But, I mean, coming into this series, we weren't delusional for thinking that the Knicks could beat the Hawks. I mean, we realized in hindsight that we were probably a little bit off. But, I mean, nobody expected a gentleman sweep in this series. Every analyst, whether they were picking the Hawks or the Knicks, thought this would be a long series, a 6 or 7 game series. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, in this series, we saw things that we hadn't seen all year long from both the Knicks and the Hawks. We hadn't seen the Hawks play this well defensively during the regular season, and we've never seen Julius Randle play this poorly this year. So, I mean, when you couple those two things together, yeah, you're going to get the result that we saw with the Knicks getting dusted in 5, but nobody saw this coming. And if you say you did, you're lying.
That's right. Jay in Queens. Good morning, Jay. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for trying to put a good spin on a bad night. All these people calling in, just trying to poo-poo on the Knicks. It sucks right now because I think if you really look at the season for the Knicks, it changed when they started being one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league, and it just wasn't able to happen for them in the playoffs. They could knock down those open threes. to ask Randle to do more than he's done all season long against the better defensive group. The other thing is, I think if you look at the records, we all kind of got caught off guard thinking that we were a little bit closer than we should have been. There was a one-game difference between Atlanta and the Knicks, and you could see the difference talent-wise. So people are mad now because the Knicks played over their head all season long. But we had games in the regular season that mattered. We got to the playoffs, legit. And we haven't had that in 10 years. So let's stop looking at all of the things that didn't go right for us, and let's focus on things that did, and let's build off this and try and turn this thing around in the direction it needs to be. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, but Jay, here's the thing, though. I can understand it, too. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to go into a – like, even if you never expected the Knicks to be where they were at, right? Like, which I don't think anyone expected the Knicks to be a 4 seed. You don't want to go into a series resigned to the fact that you're going to lose the series. So you wanted to go in with the hope that there's a chance you could pull this thing out.
But forget about that, Rick. I think that people really thought they had a chance.
What I'm saying, though, you didn't let me finish my point, is you're working yourself up because now all of a sudden you want to have hope and you want to believe. And there was one team that you thought you had a chance against, and it was the Hawks, because you didn't lose the Hawks in the regular season. Like, I mean, if they had played the Heat in the first round, in Milwaukee in the first round, we're having a completely different conversation right now. But this was the one team. Because everyone wants to have hope. Everyone wants to believe that their team can find a way to win. And then and the Hawks were that team. And then when push came to shove, you saw what you saw. The Knicks got exposed. You know what it's almost like? It's almost like, you know, for Yankees fans, when they watch the Yankees for the entire regular season, right? And, you know, great regular seasons, they end up in the postseason. And all of a sudden you match up in a series where, you know, the team you're going against has, you know, really good pitching. And they play really good defense. And, you know, they have speed on the bases. And then you watch your Yankees, and it's, you know, it's game after game, and you start to get exposed a little bit. Like, this team doesn't handle great pitching. This team feasts on bad pitching.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this was a situation where I said, it, I mean, to start the show, Trae Young presents a problem, a humongous problem for the New York Knicks. As good as their defense was, he presents a humongous problem for them.
He's going to present the problem for the 76ers as well, I think.
Yeah, because that's a really good defensive team.
Yeah.
Like, Trae Young has elevated his play in the postseason. Like, everybody around the NBA is talking about how he stepped it up. Now, he's still not Luka Doncic, but, I mean, the performance that he was able to have in this series, I mean, averaging 30 points a game, but not only that, being able to distribute the basketball the way that he did and being able to control the pace of the game, I just felt like this is a little bit of a coming-out party for Trae Young.
It was the 10 assists that's what killed you.
Yep.
Was the 10 assists, was his way he distributed. Because that's about, naturally, if he's in the paint all the time, like we talked about this after game 4, like the difference in percentages, what the Knicks were shooting from 3 compared to what they did in the regular season, and then what, you know, the Hawks were shooting from 3 as opposed to what the Knicks had done in the regular season. Well, of course they're going to shoot better from 3 if they get wide open looks, because Trae Young is collapsing your defense every possession.
That's right. Instead of Randle sitting outside do I shoot? Do I not? Do I shoot? Do I not? And then waiting for the defender to get there. I mean, it's completely different.
Let's be honest. And he's not at this level yet because we haven't seen it enough. I mean, Trae Young played like a small, weird looking version of James Harden.
Come on, man.
He's weird. I mean, he's weird looking.
Come
we know
on,
this.
Man.
Got the underbite, like he's a weird looking guy.
You got to take shots at the guy's physical appearance.
I have to.
I don't
what else am I going to take shots at?
Nest on top of his head, though. I have no idea what that's all.
Yeah,
about.
It's not a great haircut. Like, do you think he goes into the barber and he says, "Give me that"?
I don't know what that
make
is.
Make it look as ridiculous as you possibly can.
Yeah, and then we're gonna put a part on the side of it to make it cool. Yeah, that part.
Very strange.
It looks ridiculous. But he balls though, Dave.
He really
would you be surprised
is.
If you saw a bird pop out of that thing?
Well, doesn't he have a fear of birds, though, Rico?
That's what I mean, because he's got one living in
the irony that he's afraid of birds, but he plays for the Hawks. How about that?
This is all de Blasio's fault.
Yeah, it is.
This is what happens.
It is.
Sure. Blame Bill.
These Hawks won't fly in New York, Trey. Just shut up, please.
Sure looks like it to me.
You can't talk to the mayor like that. How dare you?
Trey, that Hawk's not going to fly in New York City. Come on.
Dave, you could talk to the mayor like that when he had a Brooklyn Nets garb on a couple of days before
he
made that statement. He's a fraud fan.
He's the biggest fraud.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's take a little bit of a respite and get into a little bit of baseball, and then we'll get back to the next. Chris, that's a great Yankees win last night. Really. I mean, you lose game 1 of the series. You bounce back with a win in game 2. and then you get another one last night. I know they're still not hitting the ball all that well, but, I mean, you need these wins, and that's a terrific win from the Yanks last night.
No, it's a good win by the Yankees, Dave. I mean, Jordan Montgomery was good. You got a quality start from him, even though you don't love the mistakes with the fielding errors. The Yankees were able to find a way to be able to overcome that. I mean, you got the home run from Gio Urshela early on, and you put together some really good at-bats in the fourth inning that were able to allow you to tack on, and it looked like Clint Frazier carried some of the momentum that he had from that walk-off the night before into last night. So, I mean, all in all, it's a solid win. I mean, I'll take it, and it's an opportunity to continue to gain ground against a team that's probably going to be a thorn in your side when it comes to the AL East division race.
Well, we all realized, I mean, how big these next couple series are going to be for the Yankees, right? Especially coming off of what happened in Detroit.
Especially after Monday. I mean, Monday, you looked at it and you said, we could completely fall apart here, and they've rebounded really well Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well, not we. I mean, you. It was mostly you that said that. I think part of you hope for that to happen.
Well, No. You were uncomfortable, Chris. You're down 5.5 with 3 more against the Rays, a team that you have a struggle beating. You were starting to get concerned.
No, it didn't feel great because we weren't playing great baseball. We got swept by the Detroit Tigers over the weekend, Dave. But at the same time, I did make the statement that it's not time to break glass in case of emergency. It's not time to panic just yet because you got so much season to go.
So mature.
We're only a third through the season. So
did
we've got time.
Say so mature.
He's so mature compared to what he was. 9-9.
He was breaking glass 10-10 a couple years ago.
No, it wasn't even 10-10. It was 9-9. They opened 18 games.
9-9 through 18, yeah.
You know what? I think the engagement has really matured you. I think the wedding planning, I think you look at life very differently. I mean, this is a team that got swept by the Tigers and then lost on Memorial Day to Tampa. And I come on, all panicked on Tuesday, and you're like, it'll be fine. You have nothing to worry about.
No, I didn't say I didn't have anything to worry about. We got things we got to fix. There's still warts on this team. And as far as hitting goes, I mean, last night was good. But, I mean, this team has still been struggling over the course of the last 3 weeks. But, I mean, you're just hoping to be able to find a way to be able to be competitive and win games until, your lineup ends up figuring it out and everything gets locked in. Like, you just want to be able to tread water. You don't want to lose ground against teams like the Rays or the Red Sox while your offense is still trying to figure it out.
It's amazing to me, honestly, though, to watch this Yankees team play and hear every single day about how poorly they run the bases. And then you watch the seventh inning. And yet, Urshela gets thrown out at third.
Yep.
So if you're Gleyber Torres, you're saying to yourself, okay, I mean, let's not have a repeat of that. Right. And then you get picked off of first.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing to me. You're struggling offensively, right? You start off the seventh. You're up a run, and you got first and second, no outs. That before you can even blink,
and
turns
you run
into,
yourself out of it.
Oh, dude, I mean, that's the definition of running yourself out of it. Like, I mean, Urshela, I guess Boone keeps saying they're trying to be aggressive. Okay, there's a fine line between aggressive and careless and stupid. And I mean, Urshela, I mean, as bad as Sanchez has been, that's the fifth time Urshela's done it. And then Torres even worse. I mean, he's not even trying to steal second. He gets picked off at first.
It's terrible, and it's not like he's going to steal second. It's not like there's a lot of speed within this team. They're not even built to run the bases like that. And yet they have no conception of how you're supposed to appropriately run the base pass. It really is. And if they lose these games, I mean, we destroy them anyway for it, and you should. But if you lose these games, you get hammered for an inning like that. At least they won the game, so you don't destroy them as much.
Well, you don't talk about the mistakes when you win. But, I mean, this is something that you have to focus on. I mean, this is when you're struggling offensively, like, this is the time. When you can't, like, those things that are within your control, you can't have keep happening. Like, defensively, you got to be tightened up. Running the bases, that has to be fixed, because it is going to cost you. It is going to come back to bite you.
Absolutely. There's no way you can give away free outs and it doesn't come back to bite you at some point. Last night it didn't. I promise you, if it continues, it will.
It's more than a full game of outs they've given away on the bases already. Like, it's more than a full game. That was twice more last night.
I know. And
the league average is 15.
Your one counts as getting thrown out on the bases.
Yes, that counts. Torres counts. I mean, I think they're 29 now.
I thought I heard that the Urshela one doesn't. The Torres one does. I don't know why.
How would that not count?
That's what I heard last night.
Regardless, if it doesn't count, it's 28. League average is 15.
It's embarrassing.
It's too much. When you're struggling offensively, you can't afford. I mean, that's
you cannot give away outs. You just can't do it. But by the way, I told you I didn't like this whole YouTube thing. But by the way, I found it. I did it all by myself. I'm watching the game. I don't know who these announcers are. I got hits all over. I did not enjoy that even a little bit. Give me Gary. Give me Ron. Give me Keith. Give me my comfort zone. I didn't need that at all. But at the end of the day, the Mets who tried to not win that game, they won it. And they win 2 out of 3 against Arizona.
And Lindor is coming, Dave. He's coming.
He is. He's coming along.
He's percolating.
And Pete is rolling since he's back, huh?
McCann, too. McCann's coming.
Well, it's about time.
It is about time. Now listen, short respite at first base. Yeah, let you see the light. Hey, you could lose this job. I don't care what we signed you for. How's first base? And he was actually good at first base. I give him credit.
He was not bad at all, no.
He was not bad at first base. So listen, I mean, look at the pause. We got three first
base. We got a ton of first basemen.
That's right.
We're locked and loaded at first base.
And when the DH comes to the National League, the Mets will be all set.
Oh, my gosh.
And of course, yeah, I mean, now you lose VR, that's
of course.
Of course you do.
You could argue that, I mean, I don't know you want to say best player, but he's been one of your most important pieces the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, he's the way he's filled in, I mean, it's been, but he has a different element to your team, right? And he does, I mean, he drives you crazy occasionally, especially
he's been
the last,
great on the Yankees getting picked off.
The last couple games, but at least it's because he's a threat to steal a base.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's out there with the mindset, I'm going to steal a base.
He got picked off third, though.
He's been picked off third, back-to-back games.
I've never seen a guy get picked off. I mean, they don't even throw over to third.
Yeah, but didn't I tell you that when they signed him? That I would watch him play and he drives me crazy because stuff like that happens with him?
But at least there's times that you watch him and you're like, that was awesome. Mixed in with, ugh, what the hell are you doing? Right?
Yes. No, he's been good for us. He's been really, really good for us.
The bullpen's been really, really good for you guys, too.
Yesterday they had to be, too. Yeah. Peterson.
Oh, my God, was he bad yesterday. I mean, you have a 4-0 lead. You're going up against a team that's dormant, and you go out there and you pitch like that? You can't give me 5 innings of 3-run ball yesterday?
What do you mean? He couldn't give you three
he
outs.
He gave you one out.
But you're up 4-0. You got to settle into the game and just go out there. You know what? Allow a run in the first, fine. Run in the third, fine. Just cobble together a mediocre performance because you know that the team's going to score for you. You gave it up before you got out of the first.
What do you mean before you got? You got one out.
It was terrible.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, in that moment, too. Because I was already frustrated trying to find the stupid game because I didn't have it on my TV, so I had to find it on. Eventually, I found it and I had to watch the game on my iPad.
You didn't have it on your TV? We went through the steps. That's why I did it yesterday.
I don't have the YouTube app on it.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Listen, I don't know. I didn't have it.
But you have a smart TV.
Yeah, I have the smart TV, but the TV I wanted to watch it on has like I usually have the apps on the Apple TV, and it's not on the Apple TV, and I didn't feel I just abandoned it. I was like, this is taking too long, so I went to the iPad. And watched it on the iPad, which I hate doing.
Yeah, no, I don't like that either.
Having John Franco one was cool, I thought. I liked
that. Yeah, he was entertaining. But who was the guy doing play-by-play of that game?
That was the guy from MLB Network. He's the one that used to do the show with... I think that's the guy that used to do the show with Alexa.
I don't know. I missed the Mets guys, to be honest with you.
I don't even know who
you are. They got the best booth in the league. That's why you miss them.
Yeah, terribly. I need my comfort zone.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Every person who listens to the show right now that's upset that the Knicks lost, they have no one to root for. It's okay to root for Utah.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And for the Super Bowl, naked. Fully naked, naked.
Let's reset that so people know and listen to the show. If Utah wins the NBA championship,
correct,
Dave Rothenberg has to release the naked video.
That is right. And if the Nets win the title, I get a beautiful dinner for two, thanks to Chris Carlin at Peter Luger's.
Yeah, but that's good for
you. Does nothing for anybody, but it'll be nice for me.
Which Lugers are you going to go to?
Probably the Brooklyn Lugers.
Yeah, because you don't want to come to Long Island and text me and say hi. That's what you're avoiding me is what you're doing.
You know what I'll do? Here I'm gonna extend an olive branch. Would you like to partake in the dinner at Lugers in Great Neck? Would you like to do that?
Yes.
You, Cass, me, Sherry, a little double date.
Oh, perfect.
Yes?
Perfect.
Okay.
Chris, would you like to get involved with this?
Absolutely, Dave. I thought I was going to be one of your wingmen if you did win the bet. I thought we already established that,
well,
that I was
go.
Going with you. Yeah, I thought we already talked about that.
And you're going to bring Mel. We're going to, the six of us are going to get together.
There you go.
Beautiful. And Carlin will pay for all of it.
Exactly.
Which, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the six of us probably equals to what Carlin would.
Yeah. He'd look at the bill and be like, this is all you guys ate? Is all you had? $900 worth of food? Come on. That's
steak.
Subway for me.
Steak and the potatoes.
Oh, I know Chris will love the bacon. By the way, people are very upset with you. Melissa on Twitter. FYI, if you're on the iPad, you can do screen mirroring with your smart TV to project whatever's on your iPad. Come on.
Yep. Good point. Good point.
Pedro Hernandez.
I got a lot going on. All right. I got a lot going on.
Pedro Hernandez, who's actually worse with technology? H. Dumpty 39 or Rothenberg ESPN? I think we have the answer to that. I watched the game on YouTube all by myself.
I watched it too. I just watched it on my iPad. I'll take the L on that, but I was on baby duty.
It's dumb. It's uneducated. It's ignorant. And it's dumb.
Just me and Rocco yesterday. I was like Mrs. Doubtfire. It was a drive-by fruiting.
A drive-by fruiting. No, my dear. All right, let's go to Lonnie in Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie.
Hello!
Good morning, family. What was that?
That was Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. When her boomzooms caught on fire.
Yeah, her boomzooms, yes.
Yeah,
when her boomzooms caught on fire, that was her reaction, correct.
Listen, the Knicks fans or the non-Knicks fans that was calling in earlier, even Omar, you can't discredit what the Knicks did this year. I mean, like Dave and Uncle Rico said, the Knicks was projected to win 22 games. The fact that they basically won 20 more games than what was projected, that's a beautiful thing. Okay, you know, they didn't really show up in the playoffs like we all expected them to. But just for the city to be back on fire like it was, for the Garden to be back on fire like it was, I mean, as New Yorkers, that's kind of all we should really hope for. I mean, we have two teams in the playoffs. One, we was happy to actually just for them to make it, and one can actually bring it home. Now, you know, New York is divided. We have Knicks fans. We have Brooklyn fans. But at the end of the day, we should all just be cheering for New York to actually win. You know, so I just wanted to say that. I also wanted to call in and give my appreciation to Kyle from Riley. Yesterday I heard him, and the fact that he called in and said that, once that was not a plant, Dave, because I'm pretty sure you thought that was a plant. I don't even know who that guy is, but the fact that he called in and said that.
Yeah, he gave you some love.
He even put his best friend as a five seed. He even put him in, like, top three. He said five. It's kind of degrading his friend, but, hey, I appreciate the love. I also would like, if I can, give a little quick shout out to Lynch. Me and him have been watching.
Oh, for God's sakes, Lonnie! Oh my God!
Co-host,
I mean, I want to give.
Co-host.
I mean, like,
Lonnie's co-hosting.
I want to give. Oh, thanks.
Shout out to everybody.
This guy, and if I can, let me thank Lynch on Twitter, and I mean, stop it. And I don't even agree with his first point. If you're a New Yorker, you now have to root for the Nets. I will not root for the Nets.
Well, you'll root for the Nets to get to the NBA Finals, Dave.
Well.
Because you want to see them on that stage.
No, he won't. He won't.
No. I'm going to root for the Bucks, actually.
You're going to root for the Bucks. Okay.
Yeah. I don't need to see the Nets on that stage. I think the NBA needs to see the Nets on that stage. I don't think that I personally need to see that.
I would have a lot more interest in the NBA Finals with the Nets being there as opposed to the Bucks. There's no question about it.
I would give you that, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying you would probably want to see the Nets in the Finals.
Because there's only so many teams that I think have a real chance to beat Brooklyn. And I think Milwaukee might have the best chance to beat Brooklyn at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about what, two, maybe three teams?
Maybe.
I don't think
Philly does.
No, I don't think anybody in the East outside of the Bucks does. I mean, in the West, you're talking about the Lakers, and maybe you want to throw the Clippers in that conversation, but I don't know if the Clippers are going to get past the Mavs.
Yeah, I don't think they
will. I'm still not a believer in Utah, although Donovan Mitchell went berserk last night.
Special player, huh?
Yeah, I still don't believe in Utah. I mean, yeah, you're talking about, you know, two, maybe three teams that can knock off the Nets from winning a title.
It's too bad we didn't have a chance to draft Donovan Mitchell.
No, we did. Went right by us. We didn't want any part of that. Let's go to Ben in beautiful Great Neck. Good morning, Ben. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, we're doing fine, Ben. How are you?
I'm just numb at this point. It doesn't even bother me. Listen, I heard you guys talking about going to Luger.
that's a mistake. You got to go to Bryant and Cooper on Northern Boulevard. It's in between Manhasset and Roslyn. It's the best steakhouse on Long Island. I will go to my grave saying that.
That's where I get my steaks at, Ben.
Oh, well, you know, good man, Rick. I mean, that is the best place on Long Island.
Throw them in the cast. You're part owner of Bryant and Cooper, aren't you, Ben? You are the B. Oh, you're the Bryant. You're Ben Bryant Cooper, aren't you?
It's too out of my price range to be there that often, but that place is unbelievable for every once in a while a little splurge like that. Listen, I think Knicks fans have to be the biggest Mavericks fans in the world right now because I don't even care about their draft pick anymore. If they win that series, I just don't see Kawhi Leonard staying there. And then there's the possibility that you sign him, bring him over to the Knicks. And a guy like Lillard also losing a first-round series, I mean, he cannot be content in Portland anymore, especially after he puts up a 55 burger and still loses. I mean, this guy's got to be fed up with Portland. So I think they got to put out all the stops, trade whatever you can to get Lillard, try and get Kawhi Leonard, and see if you can get some kind of big three in New York.
I mean, if you're going to take the next step, I mean, that's what you're going to need. I mean, when you look at the East, I mean, to get to the level of those top three teams, that's the kind of firepower that you're going to need. Listen, I think we've been saying Damian Lillard for how many years?
A long time.
But he's held firm. Like, he wants to win in Portland. That's what he keeps telling us. Does a first-round loss this year change that? I don't know.
Could.
But.
Very well could. Go ahead.
No, didn't he just sign? Didn't he just recently sign an extension to in Portland?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. No, people around NBA circles don't think Damian Lillard is going anywhere. Like, he's not one of those guys that wants to team up with another star. I'm sure he wouldn't mind if other stars wanted to come play with him in Portland, right. But I don't think he's leaving the Pacific Northwest. I just don't.
Nope. Seems like he's very content and happy there. All right, Nets fans, now be the first caller. 888-987-ESPN. You'll win a pair of tickets. See the Brooklyn Nets take on the Milwaukee Bucks game one on Saturday night, all brought to you by the Yes Network at 98.7 ESPN. Make sure you're at Barclays Center to watch the Nets take on the Milwaukee Bucks in round two of the NBA playoffs. Tickets on sale now, so visit brooklynnets.com to get your tickets today. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and the wait is over. It's time for an observation.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. It's another genius point by you.
And these are his knobservations. We could have called it Rick's observations, but you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, here we go, fellas. Thursday edition of Knobservations. Quick answer to your question, Dave. YouTube yesterday, play-by-play,
yeah.
Scott Braun.
Never heard of that man before.
You've seen him. Google him. You know his face. You've
Scott
seen him.
Braun?
You've seen him on the MLB Network before.
All right, I'm going to go to the Google. I'll look.
Damian Lillard, contract extension, kicks in next year. He makes 39, 42.5, 45.5, followed up by $48.7 million on the extension. All right, let's get this thing started. I'm not sure if you guys have seen this or not, but we had the whole Kyrie Irving incident with the bottle throwing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You guys remember that, right? So do you see what the Celtics fans have decided to do in response to what happened with Kyrie?
I did not.
They're circulating a petition to have Kyrie Irving charged for throwing a ball into the stands back in 2018.
That's the worst.
That's, I mean, like, come on.
Are you kidding me?
Come on.
I'm surprised they're not trying to get him arrested for stepping on the leprechaun.
Beating up Lucky.
Right?
Yeah, he did Lucky dirty, though.
No, I didn't like that either, but come on. Starting a petition? Give me a break.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. We all understand that. It's ridiculous. All right, so we didn't really get into the whole Naomi Osaka situation. Like, we didn't get a chance to really talk about it. They've teased it numerous times. And then
I wanted to get there, but I said there's seven things, and I think we got to six, and I'm sorry. I was not as great that day as I have been today.
Okay, so that whole thing happens. Now, Osaka actually, which is amazing to me. I mean, she's one of the most popular players. You make the argument that she's right now, the most popular player in in the sport is forced now to pull herself out of the French Open. So did you actually get a chance to see the French Tennis Federation president when he made his statement about Naomi Osaka?
Did. Yep.
So he does a statement, repeats the statement in English, and then leaves without taking questions.
How ironic, huh?
So he finds Osaka for not meeting with the media. She decides to withdraw because she doesn't want to meet with the media because she feels like that's the only option. And then the Tennis President Federation goes out and doesn't take questions from the media.
Right. He will give a statement, but he will not answer questions from the media either. Very ironic.
That's not ironic. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It is.
All right. I kind of like this one.
Go ahead.
Moving forward here, we actually got sound, Dave, because this is what I do. I got pacing and I got sound.
Look, the open, there's pacing, there's sound. You're going to incorporate callers into an observation.
So I really like this. This is a back and forth. Listen to this. This is a back and forth between Shaq and Steve Nash.
If you're at your house, can you show me one of those MVP trophies that you stole from me? Congratulations. No,
you can't make a free throw down the stretch. You know, it's awkward to get an MVP, buddy.
Wow.
I like it.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's amazing to me, those two. Wait till you hear this next sound. So this is the next sound. Canty's not going to like this. Because if this guy doesn't come back, I don't love the Lakers' chances.
Oh, I know what you're about to play. I know what you're going to do. Charles Barkley?
Yeah, so this is Charles Barkley on Anthony Davis.
I told you, the Lakers can't win this series. Forget about the championship. They can't win this series without street clothes.
I'm not even... You want to explain that?
I call him Anthony Street Clothes Davis because he's always in street clothes.
You ain't got to explain it, Chuck.
Hey, listen, Charles Barkley hit the right note when it comes to how Lakers fans feel about Anthony Davis right now. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, LeBron James is trying to pass the torch off to him, but you got to be available in order for that to happen.
He's often hurt. You can't argue that.
He's been hurt a lot this season, too, a lot. See, listen. You take for granted, too, last year. I mean, especially with where LeBron is at. And I know...
Like, the time off?
The time off coming into the season. But more importantly, last year, the time off those guys got before they got into the bubble.
Yeah.
And how much of a benefit that was to LeBron and to AD.
Yeah.
Because LeBron... I mean, LeBron's got so much wear and tear in his body. And now you got AD who, I mean, hasn't stayed healthy, period. This isn't something new.
No, it's not something new, and there are some questions about AD's work ethic in the offseason, too. So, I mean, that's not what you want if you're LeBron James and you're trying to capitalize on the twilight of your career. You're a guy that's supposed to be the other star not being available due to injury. It's not what you want.
I like street clothes.
That's a good nickname,
very,
street clothes.
Very well done. Great.
Speaking of spicy, too, so this was Kendrick Perkins on Yusuf Nurkic of the Portland Trailblazers. So Perkins says, Nurkic and Kanter are the worst defensive bigs in the NBA. Nurkic's response, in this league today, Perkins would be a mascot.
Wow. Clapback is too real. That's real.
Great. All right, here's another good one. Man. This is actually another good tweet. This was from Evander Kane. So Ryan Reeves got suspended for a dirty play. Evander Kane said, instead of suspension, they should have to play Ryan Reeves 20 minutes a night for the rest of the series.
Wow. Shots all over the place.
That'd
huh?
be punishing his team by playing him 20 minutes a night. And speaking, like, did you guys see the hit last night?
How filthy was that?
Oh,
hit?
My God. I mean, it's. Dude, it's. And that guy, Shifley is so important to his team, too. And he's. I mean, he's. He knows better than that. I mean, that was.
That's so dirty.
Such a dirty hit. Such a dirty hit. Dangerous hit. All right, last one before we get to a little DHIF. You guys have any plans on watching the Mayweather-Logan Paul fight on Sunday?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Going to watch it?
I'm going to watch it.
Wow, yeah. Absolutely not, no.
I'm going to watch it.
All right, would you guys like to care? Would you care to hear a little bit of what Mayweather has to say about this fight on Sunday?
Sure he talks down to Logan Paul.
He says, my nickname is Money for a Reason. I believe in working smarter, not harder. So it's... If it's something easy like, you know, say fighting Logan Paul, a legalized bank robbery, I got to do it. I have to do it.
Yeah, he said that on the 24/7 last weekend. Yeah, I saw that.
How much is he getting for this fight?
A lot of money, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, millions of dollars for this fight.
Yeah, tens of millions of dollars. A whole lot of money.
I saw the over-under on how many punches Logan Paul, I think, lands in this fight. In the entire fight, you know what the over-under is?
Punches landed over
I'm
under
gonna say I'm going to say somewhere around 30.
Yeah, you're good. 28 and a half punches landed in the entire fight.
Floyd Mayweather is the greatest defensive fighter we've ever seen, Dave.
I think I'd take the under.
I'm just saying, I don't give a damn about the weight class. I mean, he's not going to be able to touch him.
Nope, not touch him.
Well, here's what's amazing about this, though, too, is that people can't stand Floyd Mayweather. And you've set up a match where I think a majority of the people want to see Mayweather knock Logan Paul out.
Yes. As unlikable as Mayweather is, I think Logan Paul is more unlikable.
It's amazing to me. All right, let's get to the double-barreled edition of DHIF.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, fellas, here we go. A little DHIF. I'm warning you here with the first story. It's troubling, to say the very least. It's when I read it the first time, I still, and then the second time, and the third time, and I'm going to read it again, I still have a hard time believing something like this could actually
happen. Not a legitimate story?
No, it's a legitimate story. I just can't believe like that there's people that do things like this.
Okay.
So here we go. Police arrested a 24-year-old woman after she tried to shoot a dog in her neighborhood on Saturday and instead shot and injured her 5-year-old son. Officials charged, I'm not even going to say her name, with one count of deadly conduct with a firearm. Her son was taken to the hospital with injuries. They did not appear life-threatening, so that's all great news. So apparently this started when the neighbor's 6-month-old boxer puppy named Bruno ran into the street while this lady and her family were riding bikes. So the owner of Bruno, the dog, comes running out of the house because the dog's barking, and she thinks that, you know, her brother was coming to grab the dog. I open the door just a little bit, and that's when the dog comes running out. So dog runs out of the house, and now you hear the shots fired. So the first instinct of this woman on her bike riding with her children is that she's going to take out a small caliber pistol and take 3 shots at the dog.
Oh, my God. A puppy.
And one of the shots ricochets and ends up hitting her son in the stomach.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
That's a terrible story.
Awful story.
That's what I'm telling you, though. I've read it 5 different times. I can't believe, like, that's your the puppy comes running out, and you're first, like, first of all, you're riding bikes, and you got the pistol.
With the gun? Yeah, that's where I want to start.
Look, it's a puppy. I'm gonna just take 3 quick shots at this puppy.
It's amazing.
Did that happen in Florida?
That's got Florida written all over it. I mean, people carry firearms down there like they carry their keychain. No question about it. That to me is Florida.
I would say no. I'm going to say not Florida. I'm going to go a Louisiana region, not Florida.
Here's the other amazing part of the story is that the cops show up, and not only, of course, the woman gets arrested, they also give the owner of the dog a citation for having a loose dog.
Oh, my God. So a child gets shot in the stomach and she gets a citation for having a loose dog? A 6-month-old dog?
Yeah.
A puppy?
A puppy. Oh. Yeah, Bruno. Right. Santi, did this happen in Florida?
I'm going to abstain because I already know, but I will just say that this story, when I saw it yesterday, actually angered me greatly for many reasons.
It's disgusting. Canty is wrong. David is correct. This is not Florida. This is in Houston, Texas.
I'm telling you, Texas, they're evil in Texas. I've told you this.
This is back-to-back Texas stories.
I told you. This is what they do.
It was a state that had loose firearm laws. I knew that much.
By the way, did you see the video of that woman protecting her dogs and going after the bear?
Yes, I did see that. But the bear on the wall? That's unbelievable.
She didn't even think twice about it.
No. That bear could have those dogs. Yeah. There's no way.
If a bear wanted to show up in my neighborhood, they could.
Listen, those dogs got a better chance of getting away from that bear than you do. There's no chance I was rolling up on that bear.
The bear looked shocked, though.
It's a bear. I'm sure it's not used to seeing human beings come toward it.
The bear is like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. What in the world are you doing, you crazy woman?
All right, here we go, fellas. Last story in DHIF. Police were searching for the missing 43-year-old woman last week. When she saw them approaching her, she slipped into a nearby storm drain. She eventually climbed out of the 6-foot drain pipe by herself Saturday night and was taken to a hospital for psychiatric treatment. Here's the question. Did that happen in Florida? In this, and could this woman maybe be the same woman that we talked about a couple stories ago that was in the storm drain for 3 weeks before they found her?
I'm going to say, see, I don't know the storm drainage system in Florida all that well. But I'm going to say yes, Florida. And, I mean, are you asking us if this is the same woman or not?
It's a two-part question. And by the way, how many states do you know their storm drain situations?
Not many.
Right.
So I'm going to say yes, Florida. It can't be the same woman. She's been down there. Is that just her go-to? Like, oh, I'm in trouble. Let me get into the sewer system. You know what? Florida and the same woman, yes.
I'm with Dave on this one.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Santi, have you seen the story yet?
I have not seen this one, but it sounds like exactly the same, so I almost feel like going clean sweep here.
So you're saying the same as Dave. Florida, and it's the same woman.
It feels like it. It really does.
Here's the thing. This is the great part of what you guys just did. It isn't Florida. It's Texas, but it is the same woman.
Oh, my God.
She jumped states.
Wait, and originally she was in Florida?
Florida, yeah. This is the second time since March that she's done this.
No, I think
check out the drainage systems in Texas. I'm over the ones in Florida.
Definite help. She will.
This has to be your go-to thing, though.
Yeah, that's her thing.
So this is the thing. So she checked out. She apparently checked herself into rehab in Dallas, and then she checks herself out, and then ends up back in. Now it's in Texas in the storm drain.
The first sign of trouble, she's going down to the storm drain. That's her go-to.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.